What if you could determine what you would look like and be like 3 years from now? What if you could redesign the you who you are into an improved you?
This is Straight Talk.
Hey friends, welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm here in the studio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark is teaching a powerful series through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4 today. The series is called When You Believe, Everything Changes. And that's really what this message is about. Pastor Mark, you've titled it Putting on the New You. When people come to Christ, a lot of times I think there's a misconception ahead of time that, you know, my life is going to get boring now and things are going to get more bland and life is just going to have a downturn. But when in fact, coming to Christ really changes everything in a positive way, and there's an adventure people come on, and there's a whole new life, and that's what this message is about, isn't it?
Get ready for the adventure. You know, the book of Ephesians is such a powerful, dynamic book. It really talks to us about what it means to take off the old and put on the new. This particular passage is so powerful, Joshua, because it's telling us, hey, this is who you were, but now you are to take off some of the stuff that defined you, but you also have to put on some of the new stuff that's going to define you. You know, I think a lot of believers look at Christianity as, I got to stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this, stop doing that. But they forget that it's not just stop doing something. You also have to start doing something.
Yeah.
You know, stop swearing, but hey, figure out a way to use your words in a new way, right?
Yeah, your words are powerful. There's something good God wants to do with that, but you got to stop doing something.
Absolutely.
So you can start doing something
new. Hey, you know what? If someone just took off their old dirty clothes and walked around naked, there would be a problem with that.
Big problem.
A big problem.
Depends where you live.
Yeah, especially in Chicago, there'd be a big problem. Hey, yeah, take off the dirty clothes, but hey, put on some new clothes.
Please.
That's what this is talking about in Ephesians. Take off the old, but hey, remember, put on the new.
What an exciting thought. God has something new and fresh for you. And this is Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, putting on the new you.
I want to talk to you about putting on the new you. What if you could determine what you would look like and be like in 3 years from now? What if you could really change things about yourself that you want to change? What if you could redesign the you who you are into an improved you? What if you could take some of those character flaws, all those stubborn character flaws that you wish you could change? And what if they really could be changed? What would the new you look like? What would the improved new you be like? Well, I believe that God is in the process of doing just that. I believe that God knows what your potential is. God knows what you can be. God knows what you could look like, what your character could look like. God knows the you that can rise up, the new you that can rise up, and he has a picture and a vision already in his heart and in his mind of what he is forming you into. And now he desires your cooperation to become that new you. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. So I tell you this, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. Now, you know, he's serious when he says, I insist on this. Have you ever been in a discussion or argument with a boss, a coworker, or your spouse, and they say, I insist on this? You know that when they use the word insist, that they're saying, I'm drawing a line in the sand. This is non-negotiable. This is super important. So Paul is saying, what I'm about to tell you is super important. It's non-negotiable. What is it, Paul? I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. When he refers to the Gentiles, he's not talking about an ethnicity. He is talking about people that do not yet know God. And what Paul is saying, he's addressing believers, people that claim to be Christians, people that have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And he's saying to them, hey, I have an issue with you. And here's my issue. I know that you know God. I know that His Holy Spirit is inside of you. But I insist that you stop living as though you did not know God. I insist that you stop living like your old self. I insist that you start living like you know God and that you like your new self. I insist that you change. Now, here's what I have observed. I've observed that some of us have lived so long in our old self that when we become our new self, we drag in a lot of the culture of our old self into our new life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We've lived so long a certain way that now that we can live a new way, we're not sure we know how to live that new way, so we drag some of our old self into our new life. I'm told that to train an elephant, now I've never personally trained an elephant. I have a little Shih Tzu dog. No, I don't have it. It's my wife's dog that I got stuck with. I promised my daughter when she was 3 years old, she said, Daddy, Daddy, can I have a dog? And I said, honey, no. But she had these big eyes and this little sweet smile. Daddy, I really want a dog. So I told her, honey, when you're 12 years old, when you can take care of your own dog, take it out and feed it, I will get you a dog. I thought she would forget. I thought it would blow over. I thought it was a phase. By the time she was 10 and 11, she had posters of dogs. She had researched it on the internet. She knew what kind of dog. She knew exactly. She had told the kind that doesn't shed and the size and so forth. So when she was 12, on her 12th birthday, I had to get her a dog. I've never trained an elephant, and I can barely train the dog that we have. She's very unruly. But I'm told that when you train an elephant, that what circus trainers do is they will take this mammoth beast, this beast that weighs tons and tons, and they will take a powerful, powerful stake and pole, and they will put it deep within the ground, and they will tie the foot of that elephant to that stake, a huge metal pole. The elephant in the beginning, when it's chained to that pole, will try to escape. It will pull and it will tug and it will roar and it will run and it will try to pull away from it. And it will go several days fighting against being chained to this pole. And finally, the elephant will realize, I cannot escape. This chain keeps me bound. No matter how much I try, how much I struggle, how much pain I inflict upon my leg to try to get loose, I cannot escape. So after a while, the elephant stops trying to escape. It becomes used to being bound. It accepts the fact that I'm bound. And when I have the chain on my foot, I cannot escape. I'm told also that what a trainer will do once the elephant has that mentality that it cannot escape, that they can take a little tent peg, a small tent peg, and they can put it in the ground and put the chain onto the hoof of this big animal. And although the elephant could easily pull that little tent peg out of the ground, the elephant doesn't try because the elephant feels like I'm bound. The chain makes me bound. It's so used to be bound that even when it can escape, it does not because it thinks I can't escape. It's the way things are. But so many of us have lived so long in our old life, so many years in the old self, that once we are set free, we're somewhat like that elephant. We're so used to being bound, so used to being chained, that even though now we have the power to be set free, even though now we have the ability to run and be released, we stay bound by something that cannot bind us. We stay entrapped by things that cannot hold us down. We act as though we are slaves when we're not. We live as though we're still bound to the old lifestyle when we're actually set free. And so this afternoon I want to talk to you about what it means to put on the new you, creating the image of God, so that you can walk in the freedom that God has called you to. I tell you this and insist on the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. Paul tells us that the Gentiles, the people without God, they live the way they do because they think a certain way. Thinking determines behavior. If you think a certain way, you will behave a certain way. And he goes on to describe what a mind without God thinks like. And so in the next few verses, in verses 18 through 19, he describes what a person's mind is like when they do not have God in their life. Notice what he says. He says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. He says, when someone doesn't have God in their life, their mind, the way they think, is darkened because they don't have the light switch of God. There's something that happens when you come to know God and the Spirit of God comes inside of you. It's almost like a light switch goes on and you see right from wrong. You understand things that you did not understand before. Why? It's the light of God. You experience that? The light switch goes on and you realize this makes sense. Why was I living that way? I can't believe it. And once the light has gone on in your life, you look at other people where the light hasn't gone on yet and say, why don't they get it?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Putting on the New You. It's from our series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 with our message called Putting on the New You.
I remember sitting down and talking with a young man who had come to Christ about 2 years earlier. And he was telling me, I just don't understand my family and my friends. Why can't they get it? I mean, it's so simple. It's so clear. It makes so much sense, the way of God. Why are they so blind? Why don't they understand? And I said, hold on. How long did it take you? I mean, up until 2 years ago, you were in the dark as well. And when you're in the light, when you solve the problem looks easy. If you grew up knowing a different language, if you grew up knowing Spanish and you speak Spanish fluently, you look at people trying to learn Spanish and say, why don't they get it? Oh, because it's easy to you. You got it already. But try learning Mandarin or Korean. If you don't know it, you'll realize how difficult it is, right? If you don't know it, then if you have it, you think it's easy. If you don't have it, you wonder why people don't get it. And so it is with the light. And so what Paul is saying is that people that do not have God, the light of God on in their life yet, they are darkened in their understanding, which means that there are certain things that they don't see because only God can show them. And so they're darkened in the way they see the world without the light of God. They're separated from the life of God. They don't have this intimate walk with God. They may know about God, but God is not a part of their existence and their fellowship in their life. And it says, and because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They're ignorant about certain things, not because they cannot understand, but because their heart is hard. And a heart that is hard does not sense and understand the things of God yet. Only a softened, broken heart can understand that which God is trying to speak to them. So they're darkened, they're separated, there's ignorance there. And verse 19 says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You know, when someone's mind is darkened and they don't have the light of God yet, they are awakened, since they are spiritually dead, they are awakened to their senses. And the way they experience the world is through their senses. And sometimes that makes them give themselves over to sensuality. In other words, people that don't have the spiritual light on, they give themselves over to sensuality. And that results in all kinds of indulgences and promiscuity and sleeping around and getting drunk and high and whatever other senses they can awaken inside of them. And it tells us that they give themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity. But here's the thing, with a continual lust for more. Even though they throw themselves into these things don't satisfy them. So they feel like they need more and more and more. It's like an empty barrel. They keep trying to fill it, but it stays empty. So they try to fill it more and more and more and more, and it stays empty. I know a lot of people like that. I know a lot of people that throw themselves in the hard party life. Is to be filled and go from one party and drunkenness and girl to another, and just it never ends. But when I sat down and talked to them, here's what I know: there's a real hollowness and emptiness there. There's an emptiness that drives them to want more and more, to fill their life more and more. Why? Because they have a God-shaped vacuum in their life. What they're looking for is really God, and they don't even know it. So Paul says people that don't know God have this kind of thinking in their mind, and he says, here's the problem. Some of you know God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, but you're still living as if you never met God. You have come to God, you have the Spirit inside of you, you can change your lifestyle, but you're like the elephant that stays bound even though you can be free. You're not walking in the freedom that God has called you to. You're still living according to your old life. Your old life still dictates how you live, even though now you're a Christian. You're a Christian living your old life. And so now he goes on to explain what needs to happen in our life if we are going to experience absolutely true transformation. Notice what he tells us in verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. There may be people that were taught that way, and they weren't taught to change. But listen, you were not taught that way. And I think I could say that clearly to this congregation. As your pastor, I can say, hey, listen, you weren't taught that way. You weren't taught that you could stay the same. You were taught that when you come to Christ, there is change. You were taught that when you come to Christ, there is repentance and transformation. Hey, you were taught that way. And Paul says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him, talking about Christ, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Hey, you were taught that when you come to Christ, you change. You were taught that when you come to Christ, you leave the old behind. You were taught that God has the power to change you into a new, vibrant, living, full of faith, creativity, and vision individual. That is the new you. You were taught that you don't have to live that old life. You were taught that you have the power to become a new person in Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that people get stuck even though they have the power? Why is it that you have the power, you have the Spirit of God inside of you? Why is it that some people get stuck in the old lifestyle even though they have that power inside of them to change? Well, Paul goes on to describe why that happens. In verse 22, he says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Listen to me, people of God. Listen, this is what you were taught. You were taught that that's who you were before. But when you come to Christ, you put off the old self. You begin to change your mind, the attitude of your mind, and you put on the new self. So you take off, you change, and you put on. Now, here's what I've discovered. I've discovered that some people, all they do is put off. They try to put off without putting on. Listen to me well. Unless you put on when you've taken off, then your change will not stick. Oh, let me say that again. Real transformation will only stick when you put on the new at the same time that you take off the old. You will not stay changed unless you learn that it's not just about not doing things, it's about doing other things. It's not just about taking off, it's about putting on. Some people come to Christ and what they hear is no, no, no. Don't. Bad, bad, bad. Thou shalt not. And all they know is what they shouldn't do, but they know nothing about what they should do. All they know is that's bad and that's wrong and I shouldn't do it, but they have no idea what they should be doing. So you're a Christian, yeah?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Well, shouldn't lie, shouldn't drink, shouldn't sleep with other people, wife outside of marriage, shouldn't lust and commit adultery. Hold on. What should you do, though? Go to church? Hey, hold on a second. There's something more than that. It's not just about taking off, it's about putting on. If you only take off the old and don't put on the new, then you end up in a state of spiritual nakedness. You've taken off the old, but you haven't learned to put on the new, so you haven't dressed yourself with the new person in Christ. And when you have taken off the old but haven't put on the new, then you're at a state of vulnerability until you put the new on. Let me explain that. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Hey, there's a lot of stuff in your old life that you need to start taking off. There's a lot of old way of living that you know is wrong. That was the old you. And you could probably name it off the top of your head, the stuff that you used to do, the stuff that maybe sometimes you do now, but the stuff that was a part of your old life that shouldn't be a part of your new life, right? We all know that stuff. That stuff will corrupt you. That stuff is no longer a part of you. That is who you were, not who you are. You say, well, I still do it. It doesn't matter. Now, if you do it, you do it, but it's not really you. Now it doesn't belong to you. Now it doesn't match you. Now it doesn't go with who you are, because who you are now is different.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled, Putting on the New You. It's from his current series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Have you downloaded our free Straight Talk app yet? There you can download a free copy of this message as well. You'll find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. We have some great messages on family, relationships, and how to grow in your spiritual walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD, you can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. Why don't you join us at New Life Midway, where you can hear Pastor Mark in person at either 9:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. at 5101 South Keeler near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line with the Pulaski stop. Well, that's it for us on the Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for joining us again. On behalf of Pastor Mark and all of us, have a great evening, and God bless.